Hello, this is Graham Critcher from Bonnie, Scotland. Welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 97-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Margaret, have you ironed my kilt yet?
Hello and welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Jeff and Elijah. I'm here with my team of Apple savants. And we've got a new guy with us, Charlie Sorrell. Well, I guess you're not new, Charlie.
Hello.
Gadgets editor for CultMac.com. You were on the CES show, so maybe people can remember you from that. And we've got Leander Caney back with us again. Leander.
Hey, have fun.
And Buster Heine is here with us. Hey, Buster.
Always here.
You're like my rock.
Yeah.
And so we asked Charlie back on because we figured we didn't have enough British people on the show.
That's right. You can have too many.
We figured it should at least be 2-on-2.
Right.
And, we were actually going to have Downtown Joe Brown from Gizmodo on today, but he wasn't feeling up to it. But I created a new segment just for Joe that we're not going to be able to do today. We're going to be able to do it next time, but I still want to tell you what it is. I was going to call it Titillating Tech with Joe Brown, and I was going to ask him what piece of tech like got him excited, and then as soon as he told me what it was, I was going to play this.
Oh, my.
I had this grand plan to do that, and then he canceled on us last minute.
Well, now you've ruined the joke.
No, that's fine because Joe doesn't know about it. He doesn't listen to this show.
Okay, true.
So so now when he's on, I'll still do it. And he's going to be like, what the hell was that?
What the hell was that? Where's that from?
So for those of you that don't know, that was that's George like Takei. It's George Takei from Star Trek.
All right.
Yeah. I'll play it again for you.
Oh, my.
Did he say that in Star Trek? Wrath of Khan?
No, not in Star Trek, but probably in his boudoir. Oh, my. Hey, before we get any deeper in this show, let me just first mention, we are sponsored by the fine folks at Squarespace.com. I'm so thankful to have Squarespace as a sponsor. I really love their service. Squarespace, of course, is a wonderful website publishing platform and also an equally great web host, one of the best out there. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about them later in the show, but I want to thank them for their support. And if you're interested in starting a free trial with them, you don't even need to give them your credit card information. All you need to give them is an email address. Head to squarespace.com/cultcast to do that. That lets them know that you found out about them through us, which makes them want to sponsor us more often. So please do that. And if you do end up ordering something from them, you can get 10% off your order with the code CULTCAST2. That's the number 2. And you'll get 10% off your order. Hey, guys, just to illustrate what a slow news week it's been in Apple news. I'm not even embarrassed to admit that. It's a slow time of year for Apple stuff. And one of our top stories on Cult-O-Mac was by Buster. Congratulations, Buster. And the title was, Here's a Volume Trick for Your Mac That Will Change Your Life. Arguably
top,
great
top
title.
News story. Dun, 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 dun,
top
news
top breaking.
Here's an
breaking
old
news.
Buster just discovered.
Well, this got a ton of retweets. It was liked on Facebook like a zillion times. So, Buster, would you please tell us a little bit about what the trick is?
I forgot it.
No,
hold on.
You didn't.
It's if you want to change your volume increments by like in quarter increments rather than full increments, you just hit the option key. Wait. Shift.
Command control caps lock. P and the pound sign, right?
And that ought to do it for you. No, you need to hit shift, option, and hold those two down and then press the volume up or volume down buttons. I could not believe how popular this was.
How many likes was it on Facebook?
I think like 1,000, 2,000.
No, 1,500.
I mean, it's a useful trick, but I mean, when would you need to adjust your volume?
quarter increments.
Yeah,
I can tell you.
Sometimes you got to do it. Okay, it gets a little tricky. You don't know, like a movie, like it's too loud, it's too soft. Let me go by quarters. Okay.
Yeah, especially when I'm sometimes watching on my... Because you could do a similar thing on the iPad. And sometimes when I'm watching a certain kind of video on my iPad that I don't want other people to hear, but I still want to...
Yeah,
I just don't want to disturb them, you know?
So you just turn that...
Yeah.
So if you turn it all the way down with the buttons until you have the last little blob on the screen, you know, the little block, you can still go lower than that. If you touch the screen, you can actually, you can slide, when you're watching videos, you can slide the volume controller up and down on the screen.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You can actually go lower than, that's the more fine grain, the control. So you can go lower than the last block if you want to do that.
Huh. So this is like Spinal Tap. Instead of going to 11, it goes to 0.1.
Yeah. Exactly.
And actually, I was thinking the same thing as you, Charlie. This would be interesting, or this would be useful maybe if you're watching a video that, you know, like there's sometimes you're watching a video that you don't want other people to hear. Maybe they're sleeping.
They're sleeping, and maybe the people in the video.
And maybe you really just don't want them to wake up and see the video that you're watching. Maybe there's lots of moaning sounds in your video. Like maybe you're watching a tennis match.
Exactly.
And there's lots of grunting noises.
Tennis match.
And you're like, I want to make sure I can hear this, but I don't maybe want anyone else to hear it, you know? And that one square can be kind of like too loud or too quiet.
You sounded like a seagull. Exactly. I've just got the screen back on my Mac. For those that before the show we were talking, I have my iMac in pieces because I was replacing the optical drive with a hard drive inside. And I've kind of been
something that user warning, something that you should never attempt on your own.
Probably not best thing to do on your
own. I read about how to do that on an iMac, and it seems impossibly hard.
The hardest part is cleaning the screen because you use a suction cup to take the screen off, which is stuck on with magnets, like the glass front, and then underneath that is the LCD. And when you take the thing off, especially if you do it in the dustiest room in the house, like I just have. Then the whole thing gets covered in dust. So you have to really polish it out. But otherwise, it's pretty easy once you're in there. It's not like taking apart a laptop, you know. There's a bit more space.
I don't know. I kind of think a laptop would be easier. All right, well, let's move on to the big news of the week, as it were. The iPhone 5 jailbreak, which is finally available. You know, this has been a big story this week. And every time I see big news about jailbreak stuff, I think... Does anyone want to jailbreak their phone besides Alex Heath?
That's a good point, actually, isn't it?
He gets really excited about this. He's been tweeting about it. He's been writing stories about it. He's probably been having sensual dreams about it. But I think the bigger story about this jailbreak is the story behind how they actually did it. I think it was... Forbes or CNN that wrote a story. They interviewed the guys that actually created the jailbreak. And have you guys read anything about it?
Oh, yeah.
No.
It was fascinating. Allow me to tell you.
Yeah, go on then.
I mean, to me, it's just crazy that these guys basically have to reverse engineer the iPhone. And they figured out some exploit that allows them to... rewrite the code checking functionality in the kernel of the operating system, which is supposed to be like, you know, the matrix. It's supposed to be like totally secure. No one's supposed to be able to access anything in the kernel. So they have to figure out where the code is, and the code moves around in the iPhone's memory as a security precaution. And yet they were still able to figure out where this code is placed every time it's moved and then rewrite the code signing instructions so that the phone can be jailbroken and any app can be installed. I thought that was fascinating. These guys are incredibly smart that do this kind of stuff. And I think the team was called Team Evaders, right, guys? Anyone know?
Yes.
Yeah, these hackers are amazing. They're so clever. I mean, remember the first ever jailbreak it was George Hotz, right?
Yeah. It was like a hardware jailbreak.
Yeah, he's actually there with the soldering iron inside that first iPhone.
Yeah.
To jailbreak the thing. I mean, these guys are... apart from when it comes to naming themselves,
they're horrible naming themselves.
Yeah, but
I kind of like their names actually.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
What would
I
your hacker name be? Fun. What's your hack? Have you got a hacker name?
Probably.
Right. Yeah. Isn't it? Because my son was telling me last night he found you on Xbox.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to have to bleep that out so that I don't get like 5,000 Facebook friends or Xbox friends. Good going there.
Sorry.
Wait. They don't know the proper spelling of it.
Dude, fine. You think it's going to be hard for them to find?
Anyway.
I'm going to have to totally bleep that. It's not that I don't want Xbox friends. I do. But if I get 1,000, that's going to be a little overwhelming. And I can't play video games with all of you. There's only so many people I can pwn on Xbox at a time. And 1,000 might be too many. So is anyone going to be jailbreaking?
I will once I get a new iPhone.
Why?
Because Alex keeps just like making it annoying, man. Like every day. Like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that? And I'm like, Alex, I really don't care. But I will do it just to shut Alex up.
Leander, I know you're not going to jailbreak, but Charlie, any plans?
No, I can't see the point. I use my iPad for work.
Don't have an iPhone.
I got an iPhone. I got one eventually, but I don't want to use that because it's going to probably, I don't know, kill the battery life. But the thing is, what I don't like is these guys are so smart digging around inside the operating system. But what you're essentially doing is putting you're installing an unknown operating system onto your device, right? It's this device that you use for shopping. You have your credit card numbers in it. You connect to your secure websites, and they could be doing anything. I'm not saying they are, but you don't know that, right? Unless you're going to go in and check out their source code and compile it yourself, if that's even possible. I don't know. But unless you can do that, then you don't know what's in there. And it could be, you know, it's like the ultimate exploit on your machine. They could have complete control of it and you would never know. So I don't really fancy that.
Yeah, and I was talking to David Bernard at AppCubby. He's a developer over in Texas. And he was saying that, you know, they have to do a lot of support calls. You know, if something goes wrong with their app, he said the first question he and every other app developer asks is like, did you jailbreak your phone? And if they jailbroke it, then it's like, well, we don't want to know. You know, like, you know, it's probably not our app that's the problem. It's probably the machine you're running it on.
That's funny because I was in an Apple store months ago and somebody was in there trying to get their phone replaced. And the Apple genius was like, you tried to jailbreak your phone. You installed the new operating system on there. He's like, there's nothing we can do for you. You bricked your phone. And the girl was getting super irate. She's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is under warranty and you're still not replacing it. And she kept saying this to him and he kept trying to describe to her. He was like, ma'am, you ruined your phone. There's nothing we can do for you. You know, like, this is your fault. This isn't a problem with Apple. So buyer beware, you know, like if you're going to install some of that stuff, it's pretty easy to do, right? I mean, it seems like it would be hard to break it, but apparently people mess it up.
It's easy to install stuff, but every time I've jailbroken my phone, I always get like these weird things that start happening to it. Crap just goes like AWOL on it.
Yeah, you might as well, if you want to jailbreak it, just go and get an Android.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really what you should do. If you want to customize your phone that much, you really should just get an Android.
Yeah. Is there a reason? Not a bad idea.
Is there a reason? Play around. Sorry, go on.
Well, Leander, you go. Why are people jailbreaking it these days? I mean, it used to be so you could get
that's
tethering,
my question.
Right? That was the big thing.
That's the reason I did it.
Some people just like to tinker. I mean, I used to play around with my Mac, a lot. When I was a young man. But I think people, you know, some people just like to play with stuff and, you know, to try out new, you know, change the themes, change what the springboard looks like. Change the notifications.
I think that's really the big draw. What was that, Buster?
Well, Alex's argument would be that, you know, you see a lot of like, you know, mods to the operating system and jailbreak that Apple eventually, you know, integrates into iOS officially. So it's like you're getting to skate to where the puck is going to be if you're jailbreaking rather than waiting for Apple to send it to you. That would be
the notification sensor. Was the one that we have now is very similar to like a concept some guy came up with, right? A jailbreak.
It is, yeah.
And there are cool things like you can do one of those visual unlocks for the lock screen.
Right. I mean, there's cool stuff you can do. It just, you know, it doesn't work that well because it's, you know, a shoddy version put together by some guy in his basement and it's not supported by Apple.
In Mother Russia, yeah.
And he's sucking up all your passwords at the same time.
But yeah, exactly. He's collecting all your passwords and credit card numbers.
By But you get to have a really cool theme.
Yeah, yeah, your dock looks amazingly bad in exchange. That's the big thing. I get the tinkering part. That part makes sense to me. I'm like, okay. So, and then I get the jailbreaking part for if you want to tether. But besides those two things, I'm like, why would anyone want to mess around with this? I jailbroke once, and I was playing around with it, and I was like, you know, these apps in the freaking Cydia store, which is the jailbreak store, are more expensive than the apps in the App Store.
Yeah, they're like
I thought at least you're going to be getting free apps.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right? What about piracy? Aren't there some, you know, pirate app stores?
There probably are.
There are, yeah.
We should look into that.
So I guess if you're going to
Well, because I just wonder what, you know, what there is. No, I mean, there was, you know, there was a couple of years ago that it was rampant, wasn't it? But I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard anyone complain about piracy.
Yeah,
I have. There were some libraries for sure, some apps specifically that you could download that would let you install free apps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was even an alternate like app store that had cracked apps or something like this.
The jailbreak seems very much anti-piracy, isn't it? I mean, they're very, very, very vocal about that it's not about.
Are they
piracy.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why they push
BitTorrent isn't about piracy. Come on.
No, totally. It's about borrowing stuff and then giving it back to the internet, you know.
No, I think the jailbreakers are. They're very vocal. You know, I mean, you know, BitTorrent, obviously, I don't think that's a good analogy. I mean, the jailbreaker guys are always very, very vocal about, you know, this isn't about piracy. This is not about getting free stuff.
Yeah, but that,
this
that
is more about tinkering.
Because BitTorrent, Bram Cohen, the guy behind BitTorrent, he came up with it as a way of, it wasn't designed for piracy. It just gets used for that. And, I mean, it does have legitimate uses if you want to.
Wink.
But the thing is.
You should definitely not use this for piracy.
I would say, you know what? If there was a BitTorrent client on the. For a jailbreak iOS, I might jailbreak for that. That would be something that would be handy to have, like an old. Yeah, you have. Isn't it like kind of crappy?
Oh yeah, it's a jailbreak client. That's why.
But then you could just have like an old iPad or an old iPod Touch or something just sat to download TV shows in the background instead of having to use a Mac. I suppose that's not a big deal, but you know, if you want to go, I'm talking about the last few things that keep you on a computer. If you want to switch over to an iPad.
Right.
That would be cool. My favorite thing about downloading content off of BitTorrent is if you download like a movie, which I've never done, or an app, which I've never done, in the notes it'll say like, if you enjoy this content, please pay the developer. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why would you even put that in the notes? Like you're helping people steal stuff for free, and then you're saying in the notes like, yeah, but if you like it, you should pay for it.
Well,
like,
I think
if somebody wanted to pay for it, wouldn't they just go buy it?
Well, yeah, but a lot of people, that's a self-justification, isn't it? I think that a lot of people have. They say, well, if I like it, I'll buy it.
No, I say that same thing. Like, oh man, yeah, I'm just testing it, this album, and maybe I'll go to their show or something like that to make up for it.
I say that all the time when I'm like trying on clothes. I'm like, I'm gonna take these jeans home and try them for 2 months. And if I like them, I'm definitely coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I accidentally took these jeans home.
Honesty amongst thieves.
But they made my buns look so cute. Here's your $50. Hey guys, let's talk about one more quick piece of news, and then we're going to take a break and come back with a conversation about the new iPads. And Charlie, you're going to tell us how we can use an iPad to replace a MacBook Pro, which I'm actually interested to hear, because I don't know how you manage to do that and not pull your hair out. Let's talk about Mac Pros for a moment too, which is something we never talk about because it seems like Apple's about to kill it off. But French site, a trusted and well-known French site, Mac Generation, reports that Apple has told a French Apple or has told a French Apple reseller that it plans to release a new version of the Mac Pro this spring. I want to know if you guys think this rumor has any legitimacy to it, because as we know, Apple, what was it, 1 or 2 weeks ago, sent a letter out to European retailers saying that they weren't even going to sell the Mac Pro in Europe anymore. So are we going to see a new Mac Pro in spring? What do you guys think?
It's not going to be a new Mac Pro, but because remember Tim Cook said last year when people were worried about the Mac Pro disappearing, he promised that there would be something that Pro users would like sometime this year, and like sometime in 2013, he said. So It's not. I don't think it's. I think the Mac Pro is going to be going away, but there's going to be something else that you know that pro users are going to be able to use.
Really?
I think it's going to be a completely like a different machine.
You think it's going to be like a mixture between like a Mac Pro and a server, maybe that they killed off?
No, who needs to know?
Speculate.
I think Apple's
speculate
given up
with me, Charlie. Just so, make something.
It's got to have. Okay, so it's got to be. It's got to have replaceable. You know, you've got to be able to expand it, right? The point of a pro machine is you can stick in extra drives and easily add stuff. It probably won't come with a monitor because you know if you're going to have one or two or three monitors to it. So it's going to be a box. I reckon it's probably just going to be a smaller box would be my guess. You know, just a Mac Pro, maybe with a new name. It will just be smaller. I don't
really
know.
Compact.
Probably, probably too small.
Are you thinking like a souped-up iPad or Mac Mini?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, why not, right? I mean,
I like that form factor, just a little bit bigger, where you can swap out
stuff.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Maybe it'll be like the Apple Cube. Do you guys remember that thing?
Yeah.
Mac Cube.
Pretty, but horrible.
That was cool, that thing.
I mean, it was really cool.
It's going to be a computer immersed in a solid box of acrylic plastic.
It was. Do you guys remember a 70s... No, you don't, do you? A 70s science fiction TV show from England called Blake 7.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Blake 7. Blimey, I love that show.
Yeah. Well, Leander's son probably watches it. He watches all these old
stuff. Yeah. I did. I showed it to him.
Yeah. And they have this computer called Aurac, which is pretty much just an acrylic box. And it's, you know, like a big version of the Mac, of the Cube. But a precursor because it's the 70s before even the Mac. So take a look at that. You're bored.
Yeah,
what a fun day. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'll see if it's on BitTorrent. All right, guys, let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the new 128 gigabyte iPads. And Charlie, who only works on an iPad, he doesn't even use a MacBook Pro, and he's a blogger, is going to tell us how he does that. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick with us. Hey, Leander, you know what I love? Squarespace.
No.
And this week they're sponsoring the show, so I want to tell you a little bit about Squarespace. Yeah.
Okay.
Squarespace is one of the best web hosts on the internet. Not only that, but they make it incredibly easy to put up a website quickly. They have a bunch of templates you can select. You just bing, bong, boom, choose a template. You can drag and drop your content in, YouTube content, text content, image content, and then easily connect your website with your social networks. Super, super easy to do. And the best part is that these templates are scalable. So if you build a website, you'll have it up in minutes. It'll look great, but it'll also look great on your iPad, on an iPhone, on your MacBook Pro. No matter who's visiting your site, they will scale it to look best on that device. But they're also a really fantastic web host. They provide cloud hosting, real-time stats and analytics. They'll give you a free domain name when you order. Plus, you get great Squarespace 24/7 support. Not to mention, you can control a lot of the functions from your website directly from their iPhone app, which is really powerful. You can check comments on blogs, leave comments, manage a lot of your website stuff. So I want to urge you guys to check it out. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for the free trial. They don't need very much information. They don't even need your credit card number. You'll get a 2-week free trial. And if you like it, you can save 10% off your order. Just enter code CULTCAST2 at checkout, and you'll save 10% off any order that you make. And of course, a big thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring the show. We couldn't do it without their support. Thank you, Squarespace. And we're back! Welcome back to the show, everyone. Before we keep going, I just want to say happy birthday to Graham Critcher. He's the one that did our fancy CultCast intro that you heard earlier, and what a fine job he did. What a great lad he is. And, you know, if you'd like to live or leave your CultCast intro, you can do that. Just go to call.thecultcast.com. You can also leave us questions, comments. You can leave us your CultCast intro, like I mentioned, or your favorite rave pick if you want us to include your favorite rave pick in our segment, which we're actually going to do here in just a minute. So call.thecultcast.com, and it has all the instructions there, including the phone number and what to do. And we would love it if you call and leave a voicemail. Those CultCast intros especially have been a lot of fun. I got some gems saved up for future shows. But happy birthday to Graham. He's been a longtime listener. And I hope your kilt is nice and ironed and ready for you to go out on the town tonight, Graham. Hey, let's talk about iPad. There is a new 128 gigabyte iPad available. So basically twice the storage that it had previously. Cool, not cool? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Does anyone care?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I've got a 64 gig iPad, and with all the movies and work and everything else I have on there, it's always almost full. And but the thing is, most of that's applications. I'm not sure how much it is because I haven't got the iPad plugged in right now. But it's like, a third of that is apps, and it's not that I've got that many apps on there. It's just that they all have data in them. You know?
Yeah. It's a sign, isn't it, that the iPad is starting to take over from the PC. Did you see that report yesterday? I mean, Apple sold more iPads than than PCs than all the other PC manufacturers. More.
Wasn't it like 1 in 6 computers that are bought are iPads now?
Yeah. It's taken over. I mean, it's the new. It is. I think a genuine laptop replacement.
Yeah. Once people get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
When they get used to using it, a lot of people think they need a computer, but.
Well, it's because they're holding onto their old habits. I mean, I've gone one small exception, iPad full time. So has my wife. A lot of people have gone over to iPad full time.
I don't know how you guys do that. Yeah.
Yeah, working on this book. I'm working on a book. But that's only because it needs large scale sort of formatting, and it's something you need sort of two screens for.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I use my iPad for everything now, apart from recently we've been tweaking like the formatting of some of other longer articles, and it's much easier to do with a big screen and mostly though because WordPress is such a nightmare. If it wasn't for the horrible web interface of WordPress, then I wouldn't have to do it.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, freaking a 128 gigabyte iPad is going to cost you $800, not including tax. And let's say you need to add the cellular antenna to it. Now it's $934. I mean, with tax, you're talking about a $1,000 iPad. I mean, $1,000 for an iPad. Is that worth it? Do you guys think people are going to go for that?
Yeah. I don't think it's for everybody, but certain people.
Yeah, like people like Charlie.
Because there's no option at all for cellular on a MacBook, right? You can't have a 3G MacBook.
Yeah.
And it's still half the price of a laptop, so.
Yep, and the battery lasts like way longer than even the MacBook Airs with their great battery life. It's still not iPad level.
I mean, you're talking
but if you had to choose between an iPad and a MacBook Air,
iPad.
Which would you choose?
iPad.
Well, you would choose the iPad. That was a silly question.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, Charlie, let's talk about then why you love the iPad so much. So for those that don't know, Charlie exists and lives his life on an iPad. When we were at CES 3 weeks ago, he brought only his iPad. He works on his iPad. He plays on his iPad. He doesn't use a computer. And I honestly have no idea how you manage to do that, because there are so many applications that I think only exist or work well on a MacBook. So if you had to give a couple tips, if someone wanted to move entirely over to an iPad to live their life, like maybe a couple tips on what they should do, applications or hardware they would need to use.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you do a lot of photo editing and video and audio stuff, right?
I do, yeah.
So I mean, maybe you're going to be, maybe you're still better off with a computer. But, that's the first thing. It's like it might not be right for you, but it does do most stuff. I mean, I edit all my pictures and GarageBand is great. But the main thing you need is to be patient at the start, because when you first try and do all of your things on the iPad, it drives you crazy because you're like, oh, if only I had two windows open, or if I could use that application, or if I could use a multiple clipboard thing, instead of having to split between applications, and all that stuff's going to drive you crazy to begin with. But you soon get into like a different mindset of like doing one thing at a time. So you're in an app and you do the. Quickly, I'll tell you how I do a blog post. Real quick. I check my email and a newsreader. Then I said from there, so I just do that. So first of all, I check my email, and if there are any stories in there, I mark them. If there are any stories in my RSS, I put a star on them or tag them, and they get sent off via some internet wiring. off to my OmniFocus and to like an Instapaper. And then that's the next stage, is choosing which stories I'm going to write about. And then I'm done on that. Then I move over to writing about them. And I go to the editor that I use called Writing Kit, which has a browser built in. And it also pulls in a feed from either Instapaper or from your readability queue or something like that. So all of those stories I saved earlier are all available in that. So then I write them up, like one at a time. And then once that's done, I send that off to the app called Poster, which I use to publish to the site. So the idea is you can't do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of, you know, changing between windows. You can do it, but it's a real pain. You've got to change the way you think.
You change your workflow. Do you prefer this new workflow? Yeah.
I find now when I sit at a Mac to work and write, I get like confused and there's too much going on.
Do you think it makes you more productive then? Because you're more focused?
In that way, yeah. I find the Mac super distracting now because there's so much stuff going on. On the other hand, I found that it's easy. Now I've got, I use the Retina iPad for writing because it's it's so much faster. It's got more RAM as well, and the CPU is quicker, so you can flip between apps a lot faster. With the iPad Mini, if you go back to Safari after a couple of other apps, and it needs to reload all your tabs again because, you know, the memory got dumped. But I do have my iPad Mini on the side to quickly check stuff, or maybe with HipChat room open, because HipChat doesn't run very well in the background on the iPad. You know, HipChat, if you're listening, it's like it's a chat room, and that's what we use to talk to each other when we're working.
It's like group chat. Yeah, it's what a lot of us use to communicate with each other throughout the day. Well, Charlie, what are the benefits of moving to an all iPad lifestyle? Like, why would you want to do this? Why not just carry a MacBook Air?
Because you can work anywhere you want. You don't have to worry about a battery life. You know, the thing lasts easily the whole day. I mean, for the amount of time I spend on it writing. There's that. It's super portable. I mean, I use a keyboard. I use the regular aluminium keyboard, the wireless one, the Bluetooth one from Apple, with an origami case.
So you just
case.
Keep... Okay, so you have your iPad in an origami case, and then you just use the regular Apple Bluetooth keyboard. Let me ask you this, though, before you continue. I mean, there's a lot of cases out there. You're the gadgets editor for Call to Mac. You get to review a lot of these iPad keyboard cases, you know? Why not use one of those?
Because the keys are smaller. If you're typing on this thing the whole time, I use one sometimes if I'm going to be, I may need to use it, or, you know, you can write pretty well on some of these, but using a full size keyboard works great. You know, and you have the smart,
okay, so you get the full size keys.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, you don't get a home key on there. You know, you can't do these things, but you can control the brightness from it, and you can control your music and stuff like this. But yeah, full size keyboard. The Apple keyboard works great with it, and it's just much nicer. You know, if you write all day, write on a proper keyboard. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's lighter. I mean, the keyboard's a lot lighter than the keyboard case.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Although, of course,
and what apps do you use for like editing your photos and stuff when you need to do that?
I use Snapseed mostly for quick crops. I just crop them right there in the photo roll because you can do small edits there. For fancying stuff up a bit, I use Snapseed. If I need to do anything else, I think it's PhotoForge. Let me check. PhotoForge.
Any other essential apps? PhotoForge 2. Any other essential apps that people need to move on? I mean, things that they may not know about.
Yeah, if you're writing, Writing Kit is excellent because it has a built-in browser. It's a Markdown editor. But if that doesn't mean anything to you, just ignore it. You can use it as a text.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore that then.
Ignored.
I've heard you talk about Markdown. I have absolutely no idea what it is.
Well, Markdown, I mean, it's meant for writing HTML in a form that's, you know, so you write in something that looks good, looks fine to humans and that you can actually read, and then when you're done, it converts into HTML for you. But because the iPad,
most people probably would never need it.
No, but because the iPad, it's got super popular on the iPad because like the iPad doesn't do rich text very well. So there's tons and tons of plain text editors. So it means that you can write in plain text, but if you stick some asterisks around the word, then, you know, when you convert it, to you can convert it to rich text, and it'll be italicized, and you can do other bits and pieces. You know, it's not just about the HTML. So it means you can kind of write with italics and bold and headers and this kind of stuff, but on a plain text editor.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm still laughing at Leander's joke. No. I'm laughing at Leander's joke from earlier. I don't know why all of a sudden now it's making me laugh. It only took about 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, that was pretty funny. I was like, you're like, ignored. That's your MO, I think. All right. Well, any other tips before we move on? We're going to wrap up with everyone's favorite segment. Faves and raves and faves and raves, and we're all going to pick a piece of hardware and pitch it. But any last words there, Charlie?
Yeah, buy a Jambox speaker or something like that.
Oh, man.
Get a Bluetooth speaker, because it's going to make movie watching and sound and everything, and music listening on your iPad so much better.
I got to say, I don't have a Jambox, but we listened to one at the AT&T store when we were in Las Vegas. That thing sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was only using this. Oh, actually, Charlie, you have a small one that you travel with, right?
Yeah, if ever I'm out of the house overnight, I take the Jambox with me. I've got other speakers, but this one's so tiny and it sounds, you know, it sounds so good. I always take it.
But the big one is much better. Yeah, the big one sounds great.
Yeah, the big one I use for movies at home.
All right, well, hey, there you go. How to move from a MacBook Pro to an iPad. It's not for everyone. I mean, I do a lot of movie editing. I do a lot of photo editing. And for me, especially because I shoot in the RAW format on my DSLR, would be a huge pain to try and manage that on an iPad. I end up using Lightroom on my MacBook Pro. But, you know, for those of you that are not really needing to edit photos, not really edit videos, I mean, Charlie's setup is really great. Charlie, you travel so lightweight too, which is kind of why I envy what you do, because I always carry around like 50 pounds worth of gear. If you see me gadget hunting at one of these freaking conferences, I've got way too much gear.
Exactly. I mean, you can go away for the weekend and just you've got your full office set up on a train or on a bus or something like this, or in the back of someone's car if you need to. So you can you want to head out early for the weekend, you can keep working. It's super, super.
Well, there you go, guys. Let's move on to one of my favorite segments, and I know our listeners really love it. It's
faves and raves and faves and raves and faves.
I love that. That was sent in to us by UK listener Jamie Gilder, I believe his last name is. He made that for us. Isn't that sweet? This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. I got one that I'm really excited about this week. But Charlie, since you haven't been on in a while, I'm going to let you go first.
Wait, you're going to make me go first, even though I'm looking now down a list of what to say.
For something.
I'll go first. I got something.
Okay, and Charlie, you'll get the tie-breaking vote. If there's a tie, you get to break it. So
okay,
and there's usually not, so you're safe. But maybe, Leander, what is your pick?
All right, it's a new case for the iPhone 5 from 12 South.
Oh my goodness!
did I steal your thunder?
Yeah.
Were you gonna choose the same thing? What a surprise!
Yeah, I was thinking about that one as well.
Yeah, we all got one last week at Macworld.
That's gonna be your pick.
I like it though. I really like it. You know, my daughter and my wife don't like it at all, but I actually do like it.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice case. It actually sticks on, so it's not really a case at all. It's like a leather sleeve or a folder, like a bifold, and it sticks to the back of your iPhone, which makes it very thin. And then the front leather cover just folds over the front. And you know, it's good enough to give it some protection, but it doesn't totally envelope it in an ugly plastic case.
And is it very light?
Yeah, and it's very thin, you know, so it's just a sandwich, really, but over the front and the back of the phone.
Does it have a name?
Yeah, it's called the Surface Pad, and it's $40. And the more you use it, the better it
They're
looks.
Handing
you
know? These things out like candy at Macworld.
Yeah. My daughter hates it because, you know, she says it doesn't give it any protection. It doesn't, you know, you could if you drop your phone, you're stuffed because it doesn't wrap around the sides. And she finds it annoying, like... she doesn't know where to put the flap when she's using the phone. You know, like if you're taking a picture, you're supposed to wrap it around the back when you're making a phone call, and that's fine. But if you're taking a picture, then it blocks the lens. So sometimes the bike.
Well, you know what I didn't like about it, Leander? I thought this bugged you too. Is like it, so it's kind of like a sandwich. It wraps your it's almost like a taco. It's like it's a taco that goes around your iPhone. But the top flap isn't secured by anything, mm-hmm. so it just flaps around loosey goosey style in the wind. That doesn't bug you?
Well, no, because you know I've been using it, and it the leather softened up enough now that it sits there. So it actually does rest.
It flat actually lays flat.
Now. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I that case would be amazing if they had magnets in it like the iPad cases do, and it stuck down, and then when you opened it, your iPhone turned on.
Yeah, but the iPhone would have the magnets. That would be super cool.
Well, whatever. That's their problem.
Well, it sits flush against it now. It doesn't flap anymore. You know, like because the leather's worn in, so that's not a problem.
All right. Well, it's a problem in my mind. And that's real enough.
Insurmountable.
Charlie, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure.
Charlie, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to pick an app. It's the new Penultimate, which is an app that lets you write on the screen of your iPad. It's been around for ages. It got bought last year by Evernote, and they've just done an update. So now what happens is imagine it's like a. You start the app up, and it's like you get a notebook, and you open it, and it's like a. Mm-hmm. Like a piece of paper, and you can write in it with your mm-hmm. finger or with a stylus, mm-hmm. which is fine, right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of apps that do that. But what this one does is it synchronizes now with Evernote. So how Evernote, you can take pictures of handwritten, you know, you can take pictures of paper, and it does recognition on your handwriting or anything that's written.
Sure,
So what it means is if you write in this, you can then search on what you've written, search on your handwritten notes as if they've been typed in, you know.
Yeah. Really?
And you can also search on them in the regular Evernote app. So if you're back on your Mac, all of these show up in a penultimate notebook in your Evernote, and you can search on them.
So what do you use this for? You writing poetry?
Yeah, I use it for writing love letters to my work colleagues.
So when is it actually useful?
Well, you know, sometimes I don't know. Well, to be honest, if I need to write down on paper, I generally write down on paper and just take a picture of it with my, you know.
Don't let it patronize you, Charlie. Fight back.
Well, I'm trying to think of something. You know what it's really useful for is if you just want to jot stuff down, because if you want to take someone's phone number or something like that. If you have, if you're used to using like this app or you know another handwriting app, you just fire it up and then just quickly write it down with your finger. It's much better than having to open up a text editor and you know type the thing in and see if you've got it right. And then if you mistype mm-hmm. on the iPad keyboard when you're standing up, which is easy to do, then you've got the phone number's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you to get your handwriting a bit wobbly. You can still read that it's a 2 or a 7 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's handy for that.
So for getting chicks' numbers at bars, perfect.
That's what I use. And I secretly film them
juice
while I'm doing
bars. And you said the app was called Penultimate, right?
Penultimate, yeah. So new update next
Penultimate.
Week.
Sounds great. Buster, do you want to go next? Do you want me to go?
Sure, I can go. It's not new, but the service called Uber. We used it a lot when we were in San Francisco, and I had never got to try it before. And it was like, holy cow, this is crazy. It was like freaking awesome. Like we'd need to go on a ride somewhere, pull up the app, boom, 3 minutes later, we'd like have a ride somewhere. So yeah, that's my pick of the week.
All right, here's my pick. I just got a pair of Vmoda M100 metal over-the-ear headphones to review. And I already think these things are great. They tout them as being crowdsourced. So they, and by that they mean they went into forums, they went on Twitter, and listened to everyone's negative feedback about their previous versions of these headphones, and then try to implement a lot of this feedback. Creating these. I actually know exactly what you're talking about. That's really funny.
All right, the Homer.
No, these things look like.
Exactly.
You should Google that.
Right. It's got some kind of like head scratcher, and then it's got.
It looks like a schlong. It has a big bubble on the top of it.
Maybe they look like Doc Brown's mind reading headset from Back to the Future.
That's exactly what they look like. Wow. Do they send you a review unit too? These things sound fantastic. First and foremost, they're some of the best sounding headphones that I've ever used. Of course, you know, that's all relative to what you like. But they look like something that came off of Batman's utilibelt. They look really cool. They're all metal. They're built to withstand like a ton of drops, which you can tell they're built really robustly. And they fold up really nice and neat into this really cool little like turtle shell case that they include. And none of the other extra stuff would matter if these things didn't sound good, which they do. So that's my pick for this week because I'm still reviewing them, but I plan on giving these things a great review already just because I can tell pretty quickly when I like something. So there you have it. Charlie, why don't you go first? Who sounds the best? And hopefully we won't have a tie here.
Am I allowed to pick? Oh,
no, you can't pick your own.
I think I vote for Leander's.
Okay.
The iPhone case. I think because I got my eye on that. I like a slim case. So that one looks pretty neat. And I don't ever get cabs.
Yeah. Okay. I've got one I could send you. Should give me your address.
On the air. I'll give it to you right now.
Yeah. Please just give it to me right now. I'm sure no one else will use it for anything else. all right, Buster. What's your pick?
I'm going to go with Leander's as well.
All right.
Oh.
I'm also a clear winner. I'm going to go for your Zerfon. I like Uber.
No, that was mine.
You mean Buster's?
Sorry, Buster's, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, not that it matters. Actually, it could matter. I'm going to go with... No, it's not going to matter. I'm going to go with yours, Charlie. Because Uber made me mad, and Leander's is one that I have, and I can tell you it's not as good as he's making it sound. So what was that app?
But I'm still the winner, so.
Penultimate. But you're still the winner. So since I don't have any other like cheering noises or anything on my soundboard, you get one of these, Leander.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, you want? Oh, wait. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
There you go. That's your winning noise. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You won last time, didn't you?
Huh? Did I win last time? I won every week.
I think you won the last.
I don't know why I bother to do this.
No. You don't. Usually your picks are really bad. But last week's pick, this is how Leander wins. He picks something that's kind of like neutral and safe, and then all the rest of us have really terrible picks. And then we just kind of...
Well, there you go. That's a winning strategy.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's faves and raves for you guys. If you want to contribute your fave and rave pick, definitely leave a message on our cult call system. Just go to call.thecultcast.com and let us know what you like. And if we like your pitch, we might include your pick on the show. Well, that's it, guys. That is all the time that we have for this week's show. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring. Definitely go to squarespace.com/cultcast and sign up for a free trial. And if you like it, you can sign up for or get 10% off your orders and enter code cultcast2 at checkout and save 10% off your order. Hey, you know, the conversation continues on Twitter. Charlie is the new guy here. Let's start with your Twitter handle first, Charlie. Is it at Mr. Charlie?
Yeah, M-I-S-T-E-R, Charlie.
Okay, fine. Leander's is L. Caney. Buster is B. S-T-3-R. I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, definitely check out Cult of Mac on Twitter. Also, you can interact with us on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TheCultCast. And you can leave us your comments and questions there as well. So I want to thank everyone for listening. This has been The Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We will see you guys next time. Sorry, I was picking on you, Charlie.
That's all right, I don't care.
Charlie.
I'll get you back.
Okay. Charlie!
Hello, Governor.
You sound pretty good.
Yeah?
Are you wearing a headset or something?
Yeah, I'm just wearing a headphones with a mic, and it's plugged into my iPad because my iMac is kind of... Taking longer to repair. No, it's fine. It's just lying open.
Joe at Gizmodo. He said he was kind of feeling sick, so I told him if he didn't want to come on, that would be fine.
He's probably been shouting at too many minions.
He's telling me, probably, is he shouting at people and swearing?
His throat's full.
Yeah, right.
I love his voice.